The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this festal day, as we hear sounds of joy and shouting, may we also hear your voice. May we be startled anew by sounds of grace and hope. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it's Earth Day in a week and a half, April 22nd. Yay, Earth Day, anyone? Okay. Do you have plans to celebrate, do something special on Earth Day? Several Earth Days ago, Linda and I made the decision to replace our old cars with gently used hybrid vehicles. In fact, I noticed when I came to this church that many of you drive hybrids, so many so that we could probably rename the church if we needed to, St. Prius, United Methodist Church. Well, about a year ago, as I was reflecting on my carbon footprint, I toyed briefly with the idea of getting a moped, you know, one of those little bikes that you ride around. And I have a pastor friend who's fairly tall, and he rides a moped to work. One day we were having coffee, and I asked him, well, how does that work in Austin, riding a moped around? And he smiled, and he said, well, you know, you can't beat getting like 100, 150 miles to the gallon. But seriously, guys our size on mopeds, we look like clowns on tricycles at the circus. So if you get one, be prepared for laughter. I'm still waiting on the moped, so. Well, maybe we picture Jesus riding into Jerusalem piously, humbly, as dignified as one could be on a donkey, his head bowed, moving at a stately pace. I wonder, though, if it wasn't a little more clownish and cartoonish, like a big tall guy on a moped. Maybe even mocking. I think of Katniss Everdeen at the Hunger Games riding in with PETA in the chariot, refusing even to acknowledge the crowds and all the pomp and ceremony, challenging the death grip of the empire and mocking the emperor. Last week we had three amazing days with one of the great progressive thinkers of our time, Marcus Borg. In a book that he co-wrote with Dominic Crossan the last week, they describe two processions on the first Palm Sunday. Not one, but two. The procession of Jesus was actually the counter procession, lampooning the ceremonial procession of Pilate. That battalion would have advanced through the western Damascus gate with magnificent horses and soldiers in tight formation, spears and shields and swords gleaming in the sun, drums beating. Pilate, you see, came into Jerusalem to help keep peace during the Jewish feast days. He was sending a message. Trouble, any trouble at all, will be crushed to keep the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. At the beautiful gate, on the opposite side of town, riding in through an olive grove, was Jesus. It was a little different, I suppose. Tattered robes replaced uniforms, and peasants stood in for soldiers, and there were one or perhaps two donkeys, we're not really sure, filling in for the war horses. I'm guessing that there was some laughter and catcalls, and that some branches were waved, and maybe some were thrown. One year I marched in the Buck Days parade with the Corpus Christi Fire Department pipe band, back when I used to play bagpipes fairly well. You wouldn't believe what people who have had a few beers, who are watching a parade, what they shout and throw at men dressed in kilts. Well, maybe you can't imagine. So, two parades. Two parades, two completely different visions of kingdom, one built on violence, overwhelming power, greed, military might, shock, and awe. The other proclaiming a huge no to empire, and yes to God's vision, a world of economic justice and peace where nations beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And every family has its own vine and fig tree, and no one is made to live in fear. Two parades, two visions. I always find Palm Sunday the most confusing Sunday of the year. We're waving palm branches as Jesus heads not to victory, but to the cross and to death. How does one let sweet hosannas ring when we know how the story ends? This is kind of morbid, and certainly not the way our parents raised us. Which is it? Is it palms of victory, or is it the descent into suffering, passion, and death? And so we can't make up our minds, and so we have Palm Passion Sunday, where we just do the whole thing together. It seems, though, that confusion was there from the beginning. It was just a confusing day on that first Palm Sunday. The disciples were carrying branches, and they were praising God, but what in the world were they thinking? What were they hoping for? A new Elijah, maybe? A new prophet who had come? A new Solomon or David, the one who would finally throw off the yoke of the Roman Empire? Maybe they didn't know what they wanted. Maybe we don't know what we want either. After all, if Jesus is anything like he says he is, we have decisions to make. We are faced with some hard choices. We can join the Jesus parade, or we can stand on the sidelines and cheer politely until our arms get tired and then go home. And no one will know the difference. Recently, Leonard Pitts, in a scathing critique of the church, claimed that Christianity, which really ought to be in the lead on issues of human dignity, that Christianity is often bringing up the rear, getting there decades late after everyone else has already made up their minds and moved on. And often also claiming that we were there right from the beginning. Of course, we were there with Martin Luther King, just like everybody voted for Kennedy in 1960, right? Or whatever. So many times on many big issues, women's rights, civil rights, we were not even at the parade for years and years. And if we happened to arrive there accidentally, like World Vision did a couple of weeks ago, we're backpedaling as quickly as Michael Jackson singing Billie Jean. Now, why is this? Pitts asks. Well, part of it may be that for whatever reason we tend to equate Christianity with conservatism, which is completely bizarre given that Christ emphasized a radical, outsized compassion that embraced not the conservative leadership of his day, but that embraced the outcasts and the third and fourth class citizens. My friends, when the poor are exploited by the rich and powerful in our country, the church needs to get out and join the Jesus parade, yes? I mean, when men and women and children are abandoned in our city streets, hungry, abused, now we're finding out that some of them are being murdered. The church needs to rise up as one and join the Jesus parade, yes? When young men, by the millions, are mass incarcerated because of the color of their skin, the church needs to join the Jesus parade and be at the front of the line, yes? When people are put down and they're denied rights because of whom they love, the church needs to be in the Jesus parade. Yes? Are you in the Jesus parade? Are you? Or have you already laid down your palm branch and moved on? You know, when folks are considering joining this congregation, one of the things I tell them is that one of the perks of being a member here is getting to know some amazing people. So there are some new people here today, so please be at your most amazing. Will you today? Okay? Be an amazing person. You are. One of them sits at the late service right under that north balcony. I'll just point out one today. There's a bunch of you out there. And he's one of our renegade retired pastors, Reverend Bob Bryan. He sits with his wife, Sarah Bentley, who is a retired Episcopal priest. Some of you may have caught his piece in the paper this past week, as Austin has been all abuzz about civil rights with the presence here of this historic summit. Bob wrote that as a student next door at the university back in the 40s, he first learned at our United Methodist campus ministry about segregation in public schools. Thank God for the United Methodist campus ministry then. He joined a group that helped remodel a house which became the first interracial kindergarten west of the Mississippi River. Bob returned to work here in campus ministry after he was ordained, and he engaged students to work in East Austin. He arranged sit-ins at restaurants around campus and at local theaters, including the Varsity Theater, which used to sit right here on the corner. Now, the story isn't really about Bob, as he is quick to point out in his article. It's really about students and sympathetic citizens, black and white, who were willing to come off the sidelines and at some considerable risk join the parade. And gladly, this time at least, it's a story of faith getting there not last, but getting there toward the beginning. And it's also a story that demands a fundamental decision. Did I mention that last Sunday Marcus Borg was right here? Did I mention that? That he was standing right here? Can you tell that I was excited about that? Yeah. I heard and I received so many positive responses, comments, emails about last weekend. Most of them began something like this. You know, Marcus Borg changed my life. Or, I wouldn't be here in a church if it weren't for Marcus Borg and his writings. One email from a young woman in our church went like this. I thought I'd be feeling at peace at the end of the lectures, but you know it's more a feeling of enlightenment and a steady pulse to do the work to bring about God's kingdom, not the U.S. kingdom. There are still two processionals on Palm Sunday, two kingdoms, two very different visions riding into Jerusalem and into every town and into our town. Now, you don't want to be late for the parade, right? Because everybody loves a parade. But the question is, which parade are you going to join? Amen.